The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
Yo, what is going on, people? Welcome to Throwdown, episode 527. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
Sup, people? How's it going?
Chris Seeley.
Hey, what's up, everyone?
Adam Vale.
How you doing?
And Richard Bailey Jr.
What's up, everybody?
All right, man, you already know, back with another one. No Brian action. No Carlos action, no Brett action. Carlos is gonna be gone for the rest of the month, bro. It's crazy. Man.
He's on a real Euro trip.
He's real gone, you know. But fun stuff. Carlos and Brian are gonna meet in real life for the first time tomorrow, you know, so that's kind of fun. And Brett is still doing good, still recovering. I actually see him playing Monster Hunter Wilds right now, so good stuff there, you know. But we're gonna get into it because this is a Manny,
what's my dude's hunter rank?
I don't know. It doesn't say. But we're getting into it because a lot of shit happened this week. It's a stacked episode, man. So let's not waste any time. The Nintendo Direct, the final Nintendo Direct for the Switch 1, I believe. Because next week, Switch 2, man, is going to get announced. We're going to get into that. As we usually do, we're going to go through all the games announced. And this is from IGN. So if they fuck up the order, blame it on them. Don't blame it on me because I didn't actually watch this thing. I just saw a couple of press releases. That was about it. All right. So we got Dragon Quest 1 and 2 HD Remake. This was already announced before, but now, you know, it's really coming out, which is good. And they kind of timed it interestingly because they released 3 Remake first and then this, but chronologically it actually works because 3 is a prequel, you know? So it's also coming to other systems, not just a Nintendo thing. So pretty good stuff there. Next up, we got something called No Sleep for Kaname Date from AI, the Somnium Files.
I don't know what the fuck this is.
Yeah,
it's like a futuristic detective story.
Never heard of it.
I agree with Adam.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
But if I can't say the full name in one breath, I'm out.
If I can't remember the name.
Yeah,
I already forgot.
Yeah, and apparently this is a series. The series is called the AI Somnium Files.
That's a lie.
I mean, I'm wondering if this is the first time it's been released here.
I have no idea. But it's coming July 25th. So there you go. Yeah, man, like you said, solve puzzles and investigate mysteries. So there you go. All right, here's another one with a long title.
Wait a minute. What am I talking? Rich, we got an email about this one.
Uh-oh.
I just realized. I was like, wait a minute.
With that AI shit?
The AI shit. Yeah.
Oh, no. Emails. I heard that's Rich's game of the year.
No. Emails? No, absolutely not.
We should make a game called Emails. Just
kidding. All right, next one. Here's another title. Raidou Remastered, The Mystery of the Soulless Army.
It's a Shin Megami Tensei remake.
Oh, really?
Or remaster, yeah.
The latest Atlus remaster is bringing Raidou to the forefront with a mixture of devil summoning and action RPG combat.
Yeah, Shin Megami Tensei Devil Summoner, like one of the game remakes. That's all it is.
Oh, man.
All right. Is it? Whatever.
I know.
It's got the dude. I'm not sure why they decided why it's this name, you know?
Are you sure?
With these long names?
Yeah, that dude is from the Shin Megami. He's the main character from those games, or at least the ones before those Shin Megami Tensei. But yeah, it's part of it.
So is it a remaster of a real game or a new game?
No, it's a remaster of an old game.
And the game is called Shadow Labyrinth.
Yes.
Okay, so it's not Shin Megami. It's Shadow Labyrinth.
It's part of it.
Yeah. Okay. But I'm just saying, I don't want people to get confused thinking this is a Shin Megami game when it's not.
It
you know
it is just like kind of how Persona is too.
Yeah, but it's not. Again, I don't want to confuse people. You know, there's a new Shin Megami game. You know?
It's nothing new about it. It came out for PlayStation 2.
Yeah. All right. Well, anyway, no one cares. So move on. what the fuck? I'm already confused by this shit. Shadow. Oh wait. Okay, because IGN put this thing in a weird fucking order. What the hell am I looking
at? Shadow Labyrinth is a side scroller game.
So the Rideout game is the Soul Shin Megami AI drip.
Rideout, and then Shadow Labyrinth is the.
It's a side scroller type of deal.
It's Evil Pac-Man.
Oh, I remember that.
This was shown before. But this also has an episode of Secret Levels, the CG show that was on Amazon, or the animated show on Amazon that had like different shorts. So yeah, this is that same story.
Interesting. All right, so there you go, Shadow Labyrinth, the Pac-Man game.
It's like a Pac-Man game. Like Pac-Man has this evil, sinister side to him too.
Yeah. and speaking about games that Bandai Namco is going to release. Patapon 1 and 2. I know you might be like, Tony, that's a PlayStation game. Yes, but Bandai Namco is going to be putting them out. Pretty crazy.
It looks like PlayStation has some sort of deal with Bandai Namco to put out some iconic PlayStation titles on other consoles. So there's Patapon. So
yeah.
What will be on the docket next?
Well, they actually have two games.
New. I mean, how old is Patapon 1 and 2?
Patapon is almost like it's an old game. That's PlayStation 3 era. It's like
16 years old?
I mean, it's old.
It was an early PSP game. So that's what they're licensing out to Bandai Namco. I wouldn't worry. I wouldn't want anybody to light their hair on fire like, God, it's a God of War. No,
I doubt that.
Yeah.
It seems like it's going to be Japan Studio Games. The other one is Everybody's Golf. So,
oh my God, wow, that's an old one too.
Yeah, so there you go. It's beginning, you know. Listen, at least somebody's putting out these games because Sony isn't. It's crazy. All right, so there you go. If you like Patapon, get ready to play it on Nintendo. Another winner, Game of the Year, Story of Seasons, Grand Bazaar.
These are all whacked names. It sounds like
it's a Nintendo Direct. What do you expect, man?
Oh man, direct to the garbage bin. I can't support any of this shit. It's like, oh man, I'm done.
I think it's one of those. It's like Harvest Moon, right?
Something I guess. Like I mean, Nintendo fans could tell us, but Toomake could tell us. You know.
I know it's not directly related, but it's the same thing. It's like a life sim.
Yeah, thing. Looks like it.
Yeah.
Pass. It's
got a nice cute style to it.
All right. No one cares. All right, here we go. Now things got a little spicier. This game's real now, people. Metroid Prime 4 Beyond. Oh, Chris, it's coming.
8 years, man. 8 years. Finally.
Is it a first person? Like the...
Yeah. It's like first person, like the Prime game.
Like Prime?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. So, it looks good. I'm wondering if the video that's being shown is actually not the normal Switch.
I don't know. Good is subjective.
Yeah.
PS3.
Right. So... Chris, my question to you is, do you think this will also be on Switch too?
I guarantee they're probably going to do some like, oh, it'll look even better. Watch, they copy everybody's performance and graphics mode. They're going to call it something else, probably something stupid. And there's going to be like you could play it in like hyper mode or, you know, quality mode.
Switch 2 enhanced.
It'll be some enhancement.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm looking at the trailer now. I mean, yeah, looks fine, but I know. And again, I never played these Prime games, so don't really care.
Yeah, you never cared for the Prime game anyway.
Well, I never owned the systems that played them anyway, so it's a twofer right there. So don't care.
You have a Switch, you can play it.
Yeah, but I'm
you do have a system that does play it.
No, but I didn't grow up with one. That's what I'm saying.
Yes.
Yeah. All right, so there you go. Nintendo insists it's coming out this year, so we'll see. Disney Villains Cursed Fate. The fuck is this?
It's like one of those sort of those sort of job sim type of games, but it's got Disney villains in it, and it's got all kinds of plot stuff. Very simple sort of game.
Okay.
You probably kind of you like as you serve the evil Disney villains different things, you can affect their plots.
Okay. Why don't you just serve them poison and just end it?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it's you run a villains bar, so if you're the running a villains bar, you probably don't want to kill your patrons, right?
No, they're evil.
Yeah, you want to kill them. Yeah. All right, another game here, another winner, Witchbrook. I didn't make that up.
Some AI. They're running out of ideas, and they just like telling AI, "Can you come up with some crap? We'll just use that.
I love the description here. The long-awaited spellcrafting and witching life sim from Chucklefish. It's just a bunch of made-up stuff.
Yeah, like you made this up.
Long-awaited.
I mean, it definitely is more of an indie sort of fare. I mean, it looks like it's taking a lot of inspiration from the Harry Potter, like, witch school sort of thing.
Yeah. All right. Yet another winner coming up. The Eternal Life of Goldman. I guess, are you some Jewish guy? Like, what is this?
This game is like a side scroller type of game, but it's all hand animated. So all the animations for the characters are like super smooth. But you play like this old guy with like an adjustable cane.
Oi.
He kind of moves. It's kind of like if you know the gameplay to the DuckTales games where, you know, Uncle Scrooge can bounce around on his cane.
Yeah.
Kind of that sort of idea. But it's got all kinds of ways to mod his cane to go all kinds of crazy.
Yeah. All right. Here we go. Now I'm actually not being facetious. I'm actually kind of excited about this one. Remember Gradius? This is the Gradius collection. Not only do you get the original games, but you also get a brand new Gradius game called Salamander 3. I'm down. I'm down. I love me some Gradius, you know.
This one comes with a bunch of different
versions
of games of those games too. So like, you know, if you had like a Super Nintendo version that you liked better than the other or the Genesis version, it includes all of them.
It's kind of cool.
It's usual Konami fare when it comes to these sort of remastered collections or these re-release collections.
Yeah.
I played when they did Nintendo's collection, the NES collection on the Switch. You know, they have that whole thing. And they have where you can have different checkpoints and difficulties. And it had some really cool modes for that game. And I remember playing that. I was like, oh, that's cool. So I'm glad.
Yeah, this one has Rewind, Adam. So I know you like that.
The Rewind has been really good for their games.
Yeah, no, I'm looking forward to it. So it's interesting. They said it's six games, but 17 total because they're like mainly, like you said, a bunch of different versions. So pretty good stuff. Yeah. And that's August 7th. I'm down. Give me that Gradius. The first Gradius I ever played was Gradius 3 on Super Nintendo. I think that was like a launch game, if I'm not mistaken.
I think so.
Jeff Free, what's going on, brother? He goes, I got busted by truancy cops playing Life Force in the arcade back in the day.
I was going to say he got busted recently.
That's funny. Yeah, because Jeffrey's closer to your age and Chris's age, guys. So, yeah. Good stuff. Yeah, he knows. Jeff, man, I know you play that Gradius, brother. All right, good stuff. All right, here we go. Back to the hits. You know, back to the hits. Rift of the Necro Dancer.
Uh-oh.
Who is playing these games?
Stop making up these names. These are horrible.
Apparently, this is a DLC for Celeste. Another game no one's ever heard of. All right.
No, Celeste was a big deal.
Celeste was a big deal.
No.
Yeah,
Rift of the Necro there's a Celeste DLC for this game.
Is this what it is?
A sequel to... This game's a sequel to Crypt of the Necrodancer.
Shows what I know. Yeah. I don't fucking know. Shows what I know. I never heard of either of these games. But there you go.
It's a rhythm game.
Tamagotchi Plaza. I promise you I'm not making this up.
So wait, Tamagotchi, the old little things that you had to keep alive?
The other pocket monsters? Yes.
It's the other pocket monster.
Which is funny because of what's next.
Yeah. You're right, man. And this is in order. Pokemon Legends Z through A. Can someone explain this one to me?
It looks like an open world Pokemon. Another open world
Yeah,
Pokemon
it's like game. Arceus. It's in the Legend series, so... I'm assuming it's going to have the same mechanics where the Pokemon can attack you, the person.
Okay.
Like it's not the straight up battle.
Oh, like Pokemon Atreus. Okay, got you. As I call it. You,
and then the other thing is that the town has a day-night cycle. So when it goes to night, that's when it gets crazy.
Does it say what a horrible night to have a curse?
Yeah, it should say that. But yeah. So like when you during the daytime, you don't have like random encounters, but at night you, which is interesting.
Damn, they try to mug you.
Yeah, they try to get you tonight. So yeah, so then there's a gameplay aspect. If you can actually sneak up on a person before, if you get them before you see them, you can get like some additional bonuses in the battle. So yeah.
All right, so there you go.
That's nice.
Next up, Rhythm Heaven Groove, a new entry in the classic Nintendo Rhythm series. So classic, I never heard of it.
Well, Rhythm Heaven's been around for a long time. You just don't.
That was on PC. Games. I remember hearing about it on PC.
Yeah. Well, it's coming 2026 if you're interested.
I am not.
Yeah.
So the next thing is actually pretty interesting.
Yeah, go ahead, Manny. What's virtual cards?
Okay, so remember how we thought we were like, okay, remember how with the Nintendo purchases, how they say, what was it, Chris? It's they don't save it on their servers, right?
Well, the purchase is tied to your system and not your account.
It's tied to your system. So what virtual game cards is their solution to be able to put your games onto other switches, your digital games. They call them virtual game cards.
Yeah, you could lend a game. So the idea is like if you and Manny both had a Switch.
Yeah.
How would you lend him a game? You'd pop it out of your Switch and he'd pop it in his, right? And you wouldn't have it anymore. The digital game card does that. It gives him a temporary license. He'll get the game, but...
You cut out, Chris.
And Nintendo doesn't want... You. Yeah, Nintendo doesn't want you to tell the
revealing
truth.
Too much info, Chris.
It basically disables the game for Tony, who's the owner.
Interesting.
And it will enable it for Manny. And then he could play it for, I think, up to 2 weeks. And then it it activates back on Tony's machine. So the idea is it's emulating you popping the SIM card out of your Switch, giving him the game physically.
Yeah.
Can you gift him? No, not that I know of. I think it has a 2 week limit.
It has a limit. But there's also another thing that they have a household one too, where if you have multiple switches, you can within the same household, or you connect them all, they all work to you can run them all. And then the other one is giving you the ability to switch it to another switch. So in other words, that's their solution to being able to let's say if you get that mysterious Switch 2 that's going to be talked about really soon, that's their way of getting around it.
I just don't understand why don't they do what Xbox and PlayStation do? If a primary account is on that console, all the other profiles on that console get to play those digital games.
The problem is the reason why we can't do that, it has to do with the cockamamie way that Nintendo designed their stores.
That's the main reason why my kids don't even play on it, because they're like, oh, you have all these games, but they want, they have their own profiles and they're like nothing is they
well
have
none now
of the games the digital
well,
games
well now you should be able to do that.
Yeah, well, you can that only between, applies on the Switch too, that unless that's also coming to it's coming to Switch one.
It's for all the Switches.
Okay,
so they don't show you a Switch 2, they just show you the one of the alternate, like the OLED, the original one, and then they show you the wedge one. So they show you that you can switch between them. My guess is also the Switch 2 is also included. So if you have a game that's on the other one, you can just transfer it to the one of your other consoles. And they say the way it talks about it is that it only really needs to do it once, but you can just register it across from one console to the other. So in other words, if you have them next, kind of like the way the AirDrop works with with your phones. So it does that, like you essentially connect them both and you're like, okay, these are cool. And then now it should work.
Did they say a date when that feature, I'm sure that's just coming with a system update then, right? Cause
Tony could probably answer that if it's in the press release there.
Wait, what was the question?
The release date for this game sharing system, this card system that they're talking about. Sounds like it's just software.
Excuse me. It's coming in April.
April.
Okay. All
right. Yeah.
They're preempting all. It's better than, I want to say it's better than nothing. At least it's giving you something to be
able
to
have something.
But yeah. But if they had designed their store system and all that stuff a lot better, this silliness wouldn't matter.
Yeah,
it should be tied to your account. It should be tied to your account. Tied to
it should be tied to your account.
What a
you should be able to log into your new Switch or whatever Switch that you're on, and then you should be able to download anything that you.
Yeah. All right. Moving on here. It says sizzle reel. So they showed a couple of things here: High on Life, Star Overdrive, The Wandering Village, King of Meat, Lou's Lagoon, Summer, Fantasy Life I, The Girl Who Steals Time. Riveting games all. All right,
another High on Life is a Xbox exclusive.
Well, didn't that come to PlayStation? Yeah, that was the adventure camp. That was a fun one. That was with the talking gun as the dude that got canceled. Remember that he did the Rick and Morty?
Game. Yeah. Okay, gotcha. Oh, interesting.
It's a fun one.
Yeah. All right. Next up, we got Saga Frontier 2 Remastered. At least I know about the Saga games. You know.
They did something interesting with this one. So the backgrounds, so the characters are all, like it looks like they're original sprites, but they look like they repainted all the backgrounds. So they have this sort of watercolor feel to them.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Next up, we got Monument Valley 1, 2, and 3. I didn't realize they made any of these games. So that's coming April 15th for anyone that cares. We talked about this. Everybody Golf Hot Shots. That PlayStation game.
The PlayStation game.
Yeah. All right, next up. Now, this one I'm actually excited about. This is actually me excited for something Marvel-related for a while. Marvel Cosmic Invasion, side-scrolling beat-em-up game. At first, the first thing that popped up in my head was Captain America and the Avengers. This is made by the same folks. Manny, you can correct me. The same folks that made the Ninja Turtles game, right? Shredder's Revenge?
Yep, they did the Ninja Turtles game.
So,
it's Tribute? Tribute?
Yeah, Tribute and Domo 2.
Oh, all right.
So, I'm already sold because the gameplay is going to be good. You know, some of the characters are a little bit questionable. Like, it looks like they got a female Nova and Phyla Vell. I'm like, okay. But the rest are cool.
It's weird. Like the Nova looks like it just looks like Nova with really long hair.
Yeah, I don't get that. I don't know what
it's
that
a dude.
Is. Yeah. Oh, it is a dude. Okay, I don't.
Is there a co-op? Co-op on it?
I'm going to assume so. But yeah, Spider-Man, Captain America, Storm, Wolverine. I know he's in there. Listen, these guys make awesome games, bro. What's up? So
wait, you just said Spider-Man. Hold on.
Spider-Man's in there.
But the thing is, that's usually tied to just PlayStation.
No, it's not.
No, it's not.
You got to realize that Marvel, they have the rights to do a Spider-Man game, but this is not a Spider-Man, is it?
No, it's not.
But they removed him, remember, before from the Marvel Infinite one when I came to multiplayer. That was just on the PlayStation.
I don't remember Spider-Man. That. Marvel Infinite, what game is that?
Is he not in there?
Marvel versus Capcom Infinite, yeah, because that was a big deal. I remember before
He was in there. Spider-Man was in it.
You sure? I'm pretty sure Jeff, you can confirm this.
Marvel versus Capcom Infinite
on Xbox.
He is in there.
Not on the PlayStation. He was on the PlayStation one.
I think you're making stuff up.
What you're talking about is the Avengers game that came out from
Square, right? The Square Enix
from Square.
He wasn't in that one either.
That game he wasn't in. No, they didn't remove him from any of the Capcom games.
Yeah.
He's fine. Okay.
All right. So there you go. Yeah. Dude.
When is that coming?
This one is dropping this holiday season. That's all it says.
This holiday season. Yeah. Merry Christmas. We should all play that one when that comes out, like we did Turtles.
Like we did. You already know we're in there. All right, another banger game, Tomodachi Life, Living the Dream.
Well, what's hilarious is that's how they capped the show. This was the mic drop?
Yeah, this was the mic drop. So
it looked like me. Are these like me characters?
Wow.
Whatever you want it to be.
Whatever, man.
Actually, it says right here, the last thing here was Nintendo Today. Nintendo Shigeru.
Well, an app. That's a mobile app.
He cares. All right. So yeah, overall, this was like a standard, direct, boring. A couple cool things here. The Marvel game.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't. I mean, it's usually, to be honest, it's usual fare to for a Nintendo Direct. To be honest, so I mean, my expectations weren't like amazing.
No big, Capcom announcements like the last couple. You know, where they destroyed everybody's minds, but they ran out of the good games.
I mean, yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah,
I mean, to be honest, the big deal is the Switch 2 shit.
Yeah, that's what we really care about. You know. Yeah. But we're not going to find out until next week, you know, but Manny segue. Perfect. We did get some Switch 2 alleged leaks. So let's go into them. This is from Rich's favorite journalist, Tom Henderson. So basically it's going to be like a 3-tier plan that the Nintendo Switch is going to have. Like basically they're going to start with their first party games, obviously. Then they're going to announce, you know, some third party games later on the year. And then they got some big holiday plans. So that's kind of interesting. And I'll read this. According to various sources, the Nintendo Switch 2 will launch its games in a 3-phase strategy, starting with primarily first party games on launch. According to sources, the second stage will arrive in October, November for third party studios, many of whom are expecting the development kits for the Switch 2 to be sent in June. They're going to give them enough time. I don't know about that, bro.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. Like, you know, if you're designing, like the two consoles are probably fairly close to each other. So you could design to specs.
Yeah. Right?
And then do your final QA on when the dev kits come in. So
yeah, but how do you debug anything? If you run into problems, what do you do?
You probably have to
wait
do that
for support. Yeah. No, you'd have to wait for support. Because if there's always a problem, and this is a consistent problem with Nintendo, a Western studio needs support. It has to go through translations, and it has to go to their support, and they have to troubleshoot it, and then it translates again back. It delays everything. Mm-hmm. Not giving these guys a dev kit early enough to explore the APIs and everything you have is just going to lead them to longer development, push their window out further. Doesn't matter if you design to spec. You could design it as great as you want. If you don't have the hardware and debug stuff, it's worthless.
Yeah, so that's a little bit of a weird strategy. But yeah, anyway, they said, finally, it was said that the third phase for games will be in the holiday season, but they didn't specify that meant. In addition to the talk of the 3-phase launch plan, Insider Gaming has also learned that select media and creators will be attending Nintendo Switch 2 hands-on next week, where they'll get hands-on with the console and some of its launch games for a few hours. I'm not going to speak on that part. Interesting. The Nintendo Switch 2 is scheduled to be fully revealed in April 2nd, so we expect more in-depth hardware coverage and perhaps some of its launch games, too. A launch price along with the official release date is also expected to be announced during the event. Also, it seems Best Buy may have already like started pre-orders or leaked, you know, when you could expect it. And the leak says that basically April 2nd is when they start taking pre-orders for this thing. Very interesting. Kind of all lines up, you know?
So it lines up with that June release, right?
Yep. Yes. Yeah. So that's the question I want to ask you, Chris. Is that enough time to promote this thing? Basically like April, May, like 2 months, basically, you know?
Yeah. I think that's why they clustered these directs. Cause last week, or I don't know if, I think it was a week ago, was the Pokemon Direct, right? Now it's this one, and then next week is the Switch 2. So they seem to be cramming in all their marketing at once. So that leads me to the clustering and not spacing things out. Because how long do we wait for directs? Months, right?
Yeah.
8 weeks, 10 weeks, 12 weeks, if we're lucky. So now we have, in 3 weeks, we have 3 directs. So they're cramming stuff in that tells me they're rushing things. So I agree with you, it's not enough time, but it seems like that's what they're doing.
Yeah.
They're trying to cram in all their messaging and stuff and put out as much as possible right now till June. I think that the rumor has some more validity.
Yeah, I agree with that. But there you go. Yeah, April 2nd, that's the day. Watch. Next week's throwdown is going to be very interesting for sure, you know? All right, so let's get to the other big story here. Chris, I kind of want you to take point a little bit after I set things up. Seems Tencent is bailing out Ubisoft. Oh, boy. So, yeah, Chris, what's happening here, man?
Ubisoft had an interesting announcement, which caused internal and external dust up. So we go into the statement. So Yusuke Mo put out and the company put out a statement that Ubisoft accelerates its transformation by laying foundation for a new operating model with the creation of a subsidiary and injection of 1.16 billion euros from selected investor Tencent. So that's a mouthful. The TLDR of this statement, I could read some of it, but the TLDR is that they're going to take their key IPs, their big IPs that are still profitable. So the Tom Clancy license, Far Cry, Assassin's Creed, and they're going to spin them off into a new company. Now that should set off red flags all over the place. Everybody was speculating on this. So if you create a subsidiary with a cash injection from an investor, what happens is, so you have this Series A funding and you're putting your key IPs out of the main company into the subsidiary. The subsidiary is going to immediately, they'll probably go public and it will look very good, right? It has no debt. They're flush with cash. It has no history. And it has big IPs behind it. So that's going to pull investors over to it. They're going to jump ship from Ubisoft, which is sinking, into the subsidiary. I think that's what the plan was. And the timing of this is all suspect because they waited for Assassin's Creed Shadows to come out before they finished the valuation. I think they wanted to see how bad that would probably crash and burn before they did this. And
they'll probably get a new name then, right?
It will have a new name, yeah.
It'll probably, you know, like a
it's
like
gonna Ultra. It's going to distance itself from Ubisoft. Yeah, and so
what, Ultra Games, that's right.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, remember that?
Yep. Was... Konami.
So, and then this paragraph I want to read because I think this paragraph spells trouble for anyone not working on these franchises inside Ubisoft, and also anybody working on these franchises should also be sweating. So this transaction values the entity at a pre-money enterprise value of approximately 4 billion euro, implying a fiscal year 2023 to fiscal year 2025 current average sales multiple of around 4x. This highlights the strong value of the IPs, you know, reinforce the balance sheet. Their balance sheet, by the way, they're in the red. So he's not, this statement doesn't mention the 2 billion there in the hole for that. But so valuation is one thing, being 2 billion in the hole. And your operating profit being negative, that's huge. So this investment only covers half that debt, but they're going to leave the debt with Ubisoft, right? The subsidiary is not going to carry any of it. The subsidiary is getting an injection from Tencent, who's getting a 25% stake in that new subsidiary.
Okay.
And so why I read that out and why that spells trouble is that despite what Yves said, and we'll talk about the emails later, Adam, there was emails.
There's emails. Yes,
I'm telling you.
But despite what he said in those emails, their strategic review is done. The only reason they waited for this announcement was to see how Shadows laid out, right? This is bad news for anybody inside, because if C and E level people start talking internally about strategic reviews, it's time to dust off your resume.
Oh, like, shit.
Update your LinkedIn, because that is bad news. That means they're going to try to make everything look better. And what are they going to do? Start cutting heads, cutting real estate, shutting down ancillary studios that are not working on anything that was mentioned. If you're not working on Far Cry, if you're not working on Tom Clancy, if you're not working on Assassin's Creed, your studio's probably going to be shuttered. So that's where I would worry. So, you know, this statement came out before the emails, and this statement carries with it kind of a slick move on Ubisoft's part to try to save themselves by pouring everything profitable into a new company that is debt-free and now actually has a positive cash balance, right, to continue the development. And then everything else that is not working in Ubisoft, I worry that those IPs will probably be either auctioned off or Tencent will probably buy them outright.
Fuck.
And then there goes Ubisoft. Like, it's just like, it's like a snake shedding its skin. It's like, that's gone. And that's what I took from this.
It's
Ubisoft Ultra.
but it's so weird. It's like, they're basically like taking the good, and again, correct me if I understood this incorrectly. It seems like you're taking the good parts of the company, making another company, and then letting the main company die.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's exactly it.
But why, what's the point of this?
Well, you leave the toxic stuff that has Ubisoft so long that is damaging the brand. itself, you leave that behind. Hmm. Watch, the name is going to be very radically different from Ubisoft. Their hope, okay. And they tested the waters with Assassin's Creed Shadows. Remember, they kept pushing the game back, not because of the development problems, but because of just all the bad press and the bad word of mouth that was going online about it. So they kept pushing it off. And then that actually helped it, because if they had launched it when they planned to launch it, probably would have bombed even worse.
Yeah.
Right? So people have short memories, and we always talk about normies don't care. They don't pay attention to this stuff. They're just going to see a brand new shiny company has Tom Clancy Ghost Recon or The Division is under this new umbrella. And they go, oh, okay, I love that game, right?
Yeah.
And they'll buy it. And that company, they said, also in the statement, is going to focus on multiplayer, right? They're not focusing on single-player experiences. I think Ubisoft and Tencent are kind of done with single-player experiences, except if you're doing it in a Division fashion where you're still online and they still have battle passes and, you know, season and all sorts of packs. So to your point, so you leave behind the bad press, the failed IPs, or failed in that they destroyed them.
Yeah.
And you leave behind all that stuff, and you trim the fat, because they're going to start pairing off those teams to have the strongest performers in there. And who's guiding that? Tencent. That's why they have a big enough stake where they have not just a seat at the table, they can direct policy inside the company. And what they're not going to tolerate is all the bullshit that has been happening in Ubisoft for all these years that has caused it to get to this point. So they're going to direct it. They're going to get top performers and whatever, realign the team. They're going to work on those key IP. And then everybody else who's left behind, get on LinkedIn, you know, because that's a bad sign.
Yeah,
I don't care what Yves says. I don't care how many emails he puts out saying everything's fine.
Uh-oh.
That's bullshit. Don't ever believe that, right? That's like Phil Spencer saying the Activision Blizzard wouldn't affect headcount. That's the same thing. It's worse than that, actually. It's worse.
Yeah, no, Rich, you wanted to jump in? Because I definitely want to get to the emails next.
Yeah, we'll get to the emails. Let me just make I want to correct Adam, something that Adam said earlier.
No email? Said,
No. I believe you said they're going to call the studio Ubisoft Ultra. No, I think they're going to call it Tom Clancy's Far Cry Assassin's Creed Studios. You might as well use those names, since those are the only games that they will be making. So that's.
I mean, at this point, this is it. This is it. These are the games that people want to play, or that at least know Ubisoft for. And once you take those and you move them somewhere else, I mean, that's a flag right there. It's like, oh, it's over. Ubisoft is gone. They have all the leftover. That means all they have, what, Star Wars, you know, licensed IP type games with Rayman, you know, it's like the Crew, you know, it's like, what was it? Like the old saying is like, oh, you got the garbage candy. You know, that's the nasty candy. Nobody wants that from Halloween.
Well, that's why it gets left in the bowl. Ubisoft gets the bowl at the end of the night with all the loser candy.
Well, the loser candy. Loser the fucking candy, licorice and shit. You know, nobody wants that.
Gravity Falls. Dash out of the gravity. That's right. Loser candy. That's what it was called. Loser candy. And is it loser games that are all on Ubisoft? Because all the games that people know it for and like, all the Assassin's Creed, Far Cry, all that, that's all gone to the new Tencent. And Tencent already has a bad rep with that name. So I'm sure they're going to give some new flashy name for these games.
Yep.
You know, and as time goes on, within a year or so, I wouldn't be surprised if Ubisoft's
Ultra Games. We're done. Yeah.
There you go. We went.
Go ahead, Rich. Yeah.
And let's clarify one thing right now for those that are excited. When they mention Tom Clancy, that does not mean Splinter Cell. So I still don't expect to see that franchise ever return, because, people have been asking for that for the longest time. So
yeah, no, you're right about that. It's crazy. All right, so Chris, what's up with these emails? I saw some people freaking the fuck out.
Yeah, I only read the first one. I know there was a follow-up email because people were flipping out at the first one. I mean, basically, the email was the kind of soft version of this statement, this investor, for internal employees. It was basically saying, hey, we're restructuring Assassin's Creed and Far Cry and all this stuff. But it was for them. But here's the thing. Everybody internally took it exactly as I took it from reading the statement, that you guys are on the chopping block. If you're not on one of these IPs, A and B, you're not actively developing on these IPs, you're probably out the door by the end of the year. That's what they took from it. So people start freaking out, worried about their job, sending emails back and forth, panicking. And so you sent out a second email, apparently. I didn't get to read that one. Trying to assure them. I know that's what I got from, secondhand.
Yeah.
And it's what you would do. You're trying to assure people, no, your jobs are safe. Don't worry. We're doing strategic realignment. And again, he's using all these weasel words and stuff. Hmm. All he's saying is, you don't have to worry right now, but when this deal comes closer to fruition and when that company gets spun off, that's it for these guys. And I think they know it too. That's why there was panic. He could say whatever he wants, but that's the reality of it. If you did a strategic review, you already know the heads you're going to cut,
yep.
How many you're going to cut, who's going where, what studios are... You know. He knows already. Tencent and them already have a plan for how they're going to chop up what's left of Ubisoft. So, and him putting out L was a mistake because it was too close to the messaging of this external statement. And then he tried to soften it with a second email, which is not going to help. It's not going to help. I don't think you could say anything. Outright lying to people is not going to help.
So I have a question for Chris.
Yeah.
So in terms of the prediction of the layoffs, will this second round of layoffs happen before or after Black Flag Remastered comes out so they can say, well, yeah, now we got this game coming out, so people will forget about the layoffs and they'll be happy with the remaster?
It would probably happen after. They would.
That's under the new umbrella. Once they make this announcement, that's it. We're automatically supposed to assume everything Assassin's Creed is coming from Tencent.
Yeah.
Right? That's it.
Well, yeah. But they'll still use the resources they have now. If they, mm-hmm. if that is happening, they'll use those people up to the very end.
Uh-oh. I think Ubisoft got Chris.
Oh, yep. Everybody's trying to come after him. Shit, Chris.
But, Ubisoft.
I told you, get a VPN.
EVs are happy with you right now, man.
Yeah, you gotta block his shit.
Yeah, so yeah, just repeat that, please.
I don't. Where did I cut off?
You were talking about
Ubisoft is garbage. Nobody cares.
Basically, about Tencent, you know, like just selling some of these properties or some shit like that.
Oh,
yeah.
I already know how they're gonna chop up the studio.
Yeah.
They know the number of people they're going to lay off. They list.
Yeah.
But the thing with Black Flag development, if that's happening, is they will keep those people on. Even if they're on the chopping block, they'll keep them on just to get that game. And then it'll just be like Marvel Rivals or anything else. A month later, they're out.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's wild shit, man. But go ahead. Yeah.
And one last comment I did want to make, because, you know, like I said, I mentioned that Black Flag thing is happening. That other Assassin's Creed game that I believe it's Assassin's Creed Hexe that was supposed to come after this game, that is still in development. And I'm going to just give you guys a warning right now. That'll be another controversial game because it's about witches. So stay tuned for that in 2026.
Yeah, I do want to give a shout out to... Mob Hits, because he predicted that Ubisoft would like be bought before the end of the year. Like, it's already happening, man.
It's already happening.
It's fucking March. Mm-hmm. It's already happening, you know. But Chris, here's some stuff I wanted to kind of run by you, because I find this very interesting. You saw what's been happening all week when it comes to Ubisoft. They're telling you about how many players have been playing Assassin's Creed Shadows, right? Basically making it seem, look how good we're doing. We're doing great. Basically to not scared the shareholders. Then this happens. So my question is, if the game was really as successful as they claim, as they want people to believe, why is this happening? I know the answer, by the way. I just want to hear it from you.
We know it's like, they're not talking because the sales are probably very poor. Mm-hmm. They're giving out free months of Plus where you can play the game. It's where you're getting the headcount because you're jumping in, because it's a golfer, right? So you pump those numbers, you put out a statement, and you get investors interested. Then you dangle a carrot.
Chris, I think you may have to drop out and come back in. You're cutting out hard, bro.
Yeah, you're cutting out.
Okay, wait, I'll come back.
Yeah, come back, yeah. But yeah, he was basically saying, you know, you make it look like the game's selling well, You make the game, you make it look like the game's selling well, right? So the investors are happy, you know. But behind the scenes, again, like I've always said, if this, when Monster Hunter sold 8 million copies, you know what they told you? We sold 8 million copies.
Yes.
They didn't say we have three. Yeah, exactly. So continue.
Yeah. The high numbers are, it's smoke and mirrors to, mm-hmm. to mask the real issue, which is what investors should be saying, and they don't, because A, they're not gamers, and B, a lot of these people are not savvy. They just buy the numbers that they're pushed on them, right? So talking about engagement is not sales, right? Microsoft does this with like number of hours played and whatever. No, what they should be focused on is like, how many did you sell? How many units mm-hmm. did you sell? And it should be digital and physical. How many units did you push out the door? And how well did it do in certain regions, right? That should be the question. If they're dodging that and just saying, well, we have 3 million players, that doesn't mean anything, right? Yeah. Because you're giving out Ubisoft Plus for free. So the game is free on there, right? So people are jumping in and playing it. And then cancel it before they even have to give you a dime for Ubisoft Plus. And that was all, you just threw that out there so that you pump the numbers. So you pump the numbers, you make an announcement of a subsidiary, which is going to look attractive to investors because you have a debt-free entity coming in that's going to have Series A funding from Tencent in the tune of like 1.2 billion euros. So they're going to have cash. And then you're putting your key IPs into that subsidiary, which won't have brand damage, right? So to normies, it's like, oh, Tom Clancy coming from Company X. Oh, look, you know, they got the Tom Clancy license. Nobody's going to look deeper than that, right? Yeah. And so they're going to think, oh, great, Ubisoft doesn't happen anymore. Fuck them, right? And then they leave all the crap behind, all the stuff that didn't work, Skull and Bones, all that stuff, you know, it's just going to just be in there. They can auction them off at their leisure. And this is a circuitous way.
Chris. So then what happens with their subscription service at Ubi Uplay?
They'll transition that to the subsidiary. They'll transition it somehow. They'll rename it. It's like Uplay is becoming, it's becoming whatever plus, you know, they'll just change it. They won't get rid of it because they want that revenue stream too, but it will be under the subsidiary. It won't be part of Ubisoft anymore. And then certain titles will disappear. And it's a circuitous way, because think about the backlash. If Tencent just outright came out and said, we're buying Ubisoft, right?
Yeah.
There would be a whole lot of resentment. There'd be a whole lot of questions. The deal would look shady. It might be flagged by the FTC. And then they'd have a whole bunch of headaches. So this is a very slick way of doing that, because now you... I'm sorry, not the FTC, whatever the Canada...
Yeah, I was going to say, they can't go after them.
Yeah, they have their own. But mm-hmm. you circumvent that, so they have a 25% stake on top of already having a 10% stake in Ubisoft with this subsidiary. This subsidiary now goes separate from Ubisoft, right? And then Tencent has a majority stake in it. Then what they do is they'll probably buy up the IPs or auction them off from what's left of Ubisoft and just... scuttle the company. It's gone, right? Wow. It'll be gutted and released. So you have this subsidiary now, which they have a majority stake over. Yves Guillemot will have his golden parachute pulled in 2026. He's gone and his name is out of there. And then it will be a Tencent company, 100%. This is just a slick way to do it, to get around any type of backlash or perception, like, oh, China's taking over Western gaming, or to avoid any type of... scrutiny from an FTC entity, you know?
Yeah, no, it's really, really slick what they're trying to do, for sure. That's wild, man. But so basically they are being bought off. It's just not in the traditional way, you know? Yeah,
it's a slow roll with it. It's like, oh, don't worry. And then maybe some two or three games come out. Hopefully they're decent. And it's like, see, this all worked out. That's it. It's all good. Now let's drop this Ubisoft shit.
Yeah. What do you, what's a Ubisoft? I never heard of them, you know? That's that other company.
Exactly. We're Ultra.
Yeah. But yeah, none of this stuff would be happening if not only, you know, if Star Wars has succeeded and Assassin's Creed has succeeded, none of this would be happening.
Far Cry, the last Far Cry bombed.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it's been a lot of bombs.
From big IPs. And that hurts. They can't, it's just like a fight. You can't, there's only so many headshots before you go down. It's like, shoot, they all these games, these big games that they put a lot of money in, just flopping. They can't afford that.
Yeah. So yeah, Ubisoft, you be done, you know. But yeah, again, I just find it funny because you have people, like you said, Chris, that don't really understand or care to look too deeply into it. They say, oh, 3 million players. It must be doing well. No, it's yeah. not. If they have to tell you it's 3 million players, it's doing very, very bad. You know,
yeah. it doesn't even matter with this. One game can't save this company at this point.
You're right. Yeah.
So it doesn't matter even if this was the butter game and a gazillion people were playing it. It's still just one game. You know, yeah. It's not going to carry the company so that way they can fund all their other projects. It's not Fortnite.
All it would have done is Adam's 100% right. And all it would have done was raise the valuation of the subsidiary they're doing. And Tencent probably would have put more money into it, right? So if Assassin's Creed was doing GTA numbers out the gate, the valuation might have been 8 billion euros, right?
Yeah.
And then they put in like 2 billion. So that's all it would do. This is still happening no matter what.
Crazy. All right. Wow. Yeah. Man. Yeah. It's over, man. All right. Moving on, because we still got a bunch of, again, this is a packed week. So this is interesting. So Indiana Jones was announced coming for PlayStation this like, it's coming soon, but it got announced on Monday. Crazy. That already seems like last week. This has been a nuts week, man. But here's the interesting part. This game, Indiana Jones and Forza Horizon 5, which is always coming to PS5, it's doing very well with pre-orders. PlayStation fans want these games. And as I told the guys in the Discord chat, this is what happens when you put your games on a system where people actually buy games. Ain't that something?
Yep. Yeah. How's that working? Again, I keep saying this is a little blue in the face. I know Brett likes to say, oh, how do you judge success? Well, you know, no. People buying things.
Yep.
That's what it is. It's always been that.
Tying it back to what we were talking about. Yeah, what happened?
It proves the point that people will buy it. That was the whole thing. No one's going to buy it on it because it's been out so long. It's not on PC. So no one's going to buy it on PlayStation. They're not going to do it. No, yeah, they are. And they're doing it now. Buy it.
Especially with the good word that game had gotten, you know, from the, you know, beforehand. No, it's gonna do it,
yeah. Manny. You'll love this part. You know which ones are doing very well.
I pre-ordered that bitch.
There you go.
Whoa.
Yeah, but
here's the
interesting thing. Remember people complaining? Oh, why are these games $99 for the special editions? Right? Those are the ones that are selling the most. Apparently, the crazy expensive ones.
I will have to call out them on this one.
Yeah,
that $99 version of that game. That has nothing in it.
Uh-oh.
All it is just digital items.
Yeah.
Usually they're like cosmetics. It's like, oh, well, it's like cosmetics. So
I don't believe that thing is an additional, well, how much, what's it, 70, it's $70?
No, it's $99.
But you get to play it early. That's the other thing they always
give
people.
Yeah, there's the early access thing. I mean, to be honest, I feel like that collector, whatever edition that is, that's a rope-a-dope. That one is not worth anything.
Yeah. But yeah, the top two games that are being pre-ordered are Indiana Jones and Forza on PlayStation. Not only in America, but also in Canada. Ain't that something?
Well, I know they're hungry for a racing sim, so.
Yeah.
Anything
But this is not this not this not the race this not the sim.
Oh, it's not the race one. This is Horizon.
It's not the racing one.
Yeah, this Horizon. This Horizon. Oh, Motorsport is a sim one.
Yeah.
Yeah. In general, people, want some car games. So yep. I mean it's a fun or I mean that one's more arcadey than the other one, so it doesn't surprise me.
Yeah.
To be honest.
So April 17th for Indiana Jones, and then April 29th for Forza. And the games are doing well. On PlayStation. Again, if you put games on systems where people buy games, you will have success. And like we said before, tying it back to the previous story, how do you judge a game's success? Not by fucking engagement, by sales, bro. You know?
Yeah. Well, they had the description. But even with this, it's like all the people that were poo-pooing the game, I'm not going to play that. They're buying it. They're buying it. So come on now. You want it.
So if these do well, which I predict they will, Adam, get ready for the roadie run on PlayStation. That's all I'm saying. Get ready for the roadie run.
I just want to see whenever they announce it.
They haven't announced anything yet, but Get ready for the roadie run on PlayStation. That's all I'm going to say about that.
Get ready. Get ready to roadie run.
I think that one, if that Gears collection comes out, that would probably be their top seller because Gears has never been on there. Mm-hmm. And it, for that to come out, I'm
And PlayStation guys already like Uncharted, you know? So
yeah, Uncharted. And if they've only been PlayStation, never played an Xbox, but I'm sure they heard about it during the 360 time and stuff. So like, all right, I'll do it now.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. You know?
And if they play nice and support cross-platform play so you could play with people on PlayStation and Xbox, that, you know, for the co-op, that would be great.
Yeah, we'll see about that one. All right, speaking about running, it seems that a lot of game publishers want to run away from GTA 6. they're basically trying to delay their games because they don't want to come out when GTA 6 drops. And apparently some of them are getting nervous. Like, can you tell us the release date already so we can plan around this? Because, you know, if it's like usual GTA releases, no one's going to be buying any fucking games when that game drops, bro. It's just going to be empty. So that's kind of interesting. But again, they haven't even announced a release date, but people fear it's or worry it's probably going to be around the fall, right? November-ish. So they're like, okay, don't put out anything at that time.
So many questions, not just about the game, but mainly GTA Online, because it's still a cash cow for them.
Yeah.
What do you do? Do you leave that up? Are you getting are they creating a new GTA Online? Is that going to be something? Does all your stuff carry over? If it's not, this is huge. Because remember, that was the whole thing. It's like, why didn't they make another one? They didn't need to. This one's generating so much money for them. I don't know. It's going to be tricky.
So this is interesting. So it says three anonymous major video game publishers told The Game Business, that's Stephen Totillo's thing, I believe, that they are ready to delay upcoming projects due to GTA 6. The report didn't say what these companies are, but an anonymous boss of, quote, one of the world's biggest game publishers, end quote, told TGB that Rockstar's releases, quote, always suck a lot of money and, more importantly, time out of the market, end quote. That's crazy, which is true. We've seen it before, you know. Same thing happened with Red Dead Redemption. When that dropped, nobody else was playing anything else. It was just Red Dead Redemption. And that game sold a lot, you know. The only reason its sales aren't expressing us is because we have GTA 5 to compare it to, you know. But yeah, I'm not surprised by any of that. Just basically they're comparing it to a huge meteor that's coming. Stay the fuck out of the impact zone, you know. Because that's, you know, if it comes out this year like they promise. And I know, Rich, you don't believe it will. It's going to be a massive, you know? So we'll see about that. And they said they're going to try to win players over after the hype dies down. That's funny, man.
Think about it. I mean, we talked about it before when it comes to the writing and how things could change.
Yeah.
And if that is true, then all these publishers won't have anything to worry about. The press is going to spread like, oh, man, this is a watered down version. This is, you know, GTA of old. And people are like, I'm not going to bother with it. Yeah, right, what else is out? What else
you're right, because my worry is that they're going to turn it into Saints Row. Oh, you know, that was terrible.
Hopefully they learn from that. Maybe they saw that and be like, all right, we can't go down that road.
Yeah, so we'll see. All right, another story here. This one's fun. This is for the Monster Hunter gang out there. They had a kind of showcase video, 15 minutes long, that told you everything that's coming up in the first title update. And it's a lot, you know?
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff.
Yeah, so right here we have Mitsuzune. Is that Leviathan, a monster? That's going to be one of the first monsters they... it's next week, too. You get ready for those streams, people. So this monster is originally from Monster Hunter Rise, so it'll be cool to have the monster there. Good stuff.
That's why all the armor sets are all Japanese themed off of that monster.
Yeah. Here's what I'm really excited about. Arch-tempered Ray Dao. Remember, one of the complaints people had, me myself included, was that the monsters weren't tough enough. But I'm like, give them time. They're probably going to give us the good stuff. For those who don't know, tempered monsters are the hardest monsters in the game. But it's arch-tempered, so it's beyond tempered. This is your favorite monster, Ray Dao, the electric one, you know, so that's going to be brutal.
I only fought that thing once in the plot, you know, that's about it.
I mean, that's how it kind of is. So, cool armor sets for it, as you're seeing here. You also get to fight the final boss, Zoshea, more than once, because that was the other thing. You can only fight it if somebody else was there in the story, you know? Mm-hmm. That's why when we were doing the streams and everybody's like, I'm fighting Zoshea, I'm like, let me jump in there, because I only get to play him during that. But now he's going to be available. You could farm him, get a really cool armor set. Just like him, the armor is like black and white and changes and stuff.
Yeah, it changes when you pull your weaponry out.
Yeah, which is really cool. I'm hoping we get an arch-tempered version of this guy, too. And interestingly, you have to be Hunter rank 21 for Mitsusune, and you have to be 50 for Ray Dao and Zoshea. So Manny, we'll level you up, man. We're good. You know,
I'm getting pretty close. I'm like level 35.
Oh, you're good.
I'm maybe a little bit higher than that. I'm getting close. I think I hit 40.
Yeah, because once you kind of hit that point, you start leveling up really fast. So yeah, you'll be ready.
Yeah, so I'm at like level 40 right now. I'm just doing all the little.
Side missions,
and stuff, but I still need to farm for good for good equipment. Mike, I still got like some half low, half high.
Yeah, I didn't really start doing that stuff until like I beat everything. You know, you're good right now. And there's something. What's up, Chris?
Oh, you're probably going to talk about it. So.
Yeah, and Chris, I think I know what you want to talk about. The gathering hub.
Oh,
yep.
Yes, yep, finally.
It's coming. You know, I have a suspicion that they just didn't have time to implement this on day one, but it, like all this stuff is like ready, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, it's going to have, Chris, everything you want. Beer drinking, arm wrestling, eat cats making you food, you know?
Yep.
All that good stuff. And they even have like a new kind of bowling game, like barrel bowling. You get like...
Yeah, with explosive barrels.
Yeah, and you get different items and stuff. That's going to be fun. And you can access that after 100 rank 16. We're all good there. You know?
Yeah.
There's a singing girl there too, which is kind of interesting.
Yeah, the diva. If you're in the night phase there, you can go see the diva sing her song, and it has like a little, you can zoom in and do all kinds of fun stuff while she's singing. The other thing they're gonna do is the squad master.
Yeah.
She's going to actually get moved out of that hub, out of that first location, and she's going to just be permanently set in the new gathering hub the grand hub. I'm wondering if it also will include a space where you capture a monster, cuz currently there is no place where they put the monster. It just says you got it.
Yeah,
like they don't show you anywhere. It'd be nice to see.
You want like cages?
So like in the in the original game, like if you caught like any of the monsters, they would like be at the front of the gate, in the gates of the
just
main
sleeping
location.
Though they're not behind
No, they don't want to get sued by Nintendo. You know what? Catching monsters, we do that.
Yeah, they're
yeah, but you don't put them in a ball though. You don't put them in a ball. So that's
So they just hang out there, and they also, and for that one. They also, I think, the monsters that you capture also become part of the arena too, as I remember.
Yeah, I don't know if that's going to happen in this, but it'll be interesting. And Manny, good segue. Speaking about arenas, you're actually going to have like arena battles where it's like up to two players, not the full squad, just two players with predetermined equipment, and you get to basically compete for the fastest time, like a world leaderboard, which is kind of interesting.
It's sort of like when you did the arena stuff in the other one where they had those certain like rule sets.
Yeah.
Like you could only use this weapon.
I remember that.
Or you could only use, it sort of sounds like an evolution of that idea.
Yeah. But there are going to be special limited time event quests where, you know, you could have the whole party, four people and stuff. Kind of an evolution of the arena quests. Kind of cool. I'll read this. Take on special limited time event quest where you can earn pendants as rewards. All participants will receive pendants. However, you can earn special pendants based on your personal time and world ranking. Like arena quests, challenge quests require predetermined equipment and are limited to 2 hunters. Okay. Free challenge quests are new to Monster Hunter Wilds and have no restrictions on equipment and up to 4 players. Both types of quests can be taken on alongside support hunters too. The NPCs, basically. Kind of cool. Alma, your handler, you could change your outfit. You'll be able to give her glasses. You can even dress her up like the handler from the from World, which is kind of interesting.
Yeah, which is kind of cool. You get the little. It seems like they're the definitely the World outfits and this one seem to be somewhat connected.
Yeah,
like it's sort of like Victorian like sort of look to it. So yeah,
There's also going to be cosmetic DLCs. With the free update, but there will be paid DLC as well, like costumes and shit, you know.
They currently already have a bunch of stuff right now. Like you can get a bunch of stuff from Monster Hunter Rise and a bunch of, and also the other, which I do kind of find nice of them. Like if you don't like the whole set, if you don't want to buy the whole set, you know, like DLC, you can just buy one item.
Yeah, which is nice.
So like it's like, oh man, I don't like any of these other things that come there, but I do like that eye patch, or I do like that this thing, you know, like a hat or something.
Yeah.
So they kind of separate them out a little bit.
Yeah. And then we have this seasonal event. It's called the Festival of Accord Blossom Dance. Basically, every season they have some special event in the Gathering Hub. Monster Hunter World did the same thing. And you can do little events here and there, get some special stuff. Pretty good shit the there.
The spring one I remember pretty fondly from the original one.
Yeah.
Where everything would, you know, they had special meals and all kinds of other things that were all attached to it, and there were items that you could get that were themed for those things.
Yeah. So they're bringing that back. And then they're also going to plan another collaboration with another Capcom game. We don't know what that could be. Before they had collaborations with Street Fighter, Devil May Cry, Mega Man. So we'll see what happens. They said another additional feature. I don't know what that is. Maybe we'll have third party ones. So remember that the Witcher one, that the Final Fantasy one. So I'm expecting things on that level, you know.
Maybe they'll just add Ronaldo, like Fatal Fury. Just say, go ahead, go out your realm, grab everybody, you know.
Yeah, we'll get to Ronaldo in a bit. Yeah,
and Mbappe, let's do it.
Pele, you know.
Pele, or not, RIP, miss him every day.
Yeah, so that's everything coming to title update one. Free title update, which is nice. And then title update two, we got a little sneak peek of that. They didn't say the monster's name, but it's Ligaia, Chris, from Monster Hunter World 3. It's a swimming monster. So I'm like, are you going to be able to swim now in this game?
You can swim.
Like, no, but I'm talking about freely swim, not just like predetermined path swim. You know, because in Monster Hunter 3 try, you could actually you could hunt underwater, you know? And you have
it
like
never really works. Fighting underwater, we've seen that in other games. It doesn't really.
Yeah, so I think what's probably going to happen is, because I don't think they're going to introduce that mechanic. I think it's just, because the monster, you can fight it outside the water, too. I think it's just going to be that. But there are places in Wilds where there are big water places. So I'm guessing it's going to dive in there, do some crazy shit, you know?
Yeah.
Or
maybe it's like a shame that it jumps over
the forest.
The fights have stages. Like the monster runs away.
Yeah.
So it's going to be harder to catch. It's going to jump in the water and go, shit, you hop on your chocobo and go chase it down, but you can't go in the water, right?
Yeah, you can. Yeah. Because remember, there's already one monster that does that. That big fat one with the fish head. He jumps in the water too. You know, and you can't do shit. It's just like, get away from the wave that's coming. But good stuff. I'm glad they're bringing back some like old monsters. I want to see some brand new ones as well, you know. Good stuff, man. I'm happy about this. So yeah, first update comes next week, and you know we're gonna be streaming that shit, bro. So get ready for that. All right, speaking about making a comeback, Game Informer is back, people. Remember they shuttered it.
Who owns it now?
They say the name of it here. I'll get to it. But basically, Game Informer is back. They're going to be bringing back the magazine, and they say they rehired 100% of the previous staff. Which is crazy.
Wow, okay.
Yeah.
That's crazy, yeah.
Wait, so it's coming back in paper form?
Digital and paper form.
I would think just digital. I'm like, come on, where are you going to sell your physical then?
Yeah.
Just GameStop?
Yeah, man, to answer your question, Godzilla Games owns it.
Interesting. Yeah. Man, they totally just bought hi-fi rushed that one.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. But yeah, they said, you know, they haven't gone into specifics of how they're gonna change it, but they said the magazine will be different. But you know, the website's back up and running, all the social media is back up and running like before, and they rehired everybody. So it's one of those instances where it's like, whoa, there's good news for once, you know, in this crazy industry. Hopefully these guys won't get stupid, won't become like Kotaku or whatever. Just report the news, have some fun. I will say this, though, you know, and this is because I can't help being a cynical asshole. Like, if you rehired everybody, were these people unable to find jobs in between time? Because that's brutal. Yeah, or did they pay them a lot of money, you know?
I think they offered everybody their job and probably at a discount rate, too. That's the other issue, right? It doesn't mean they're going to max those salaries.
Well, they said that everybody is going to get either raises and promotions. Yeah. So these motherfuckers must have a lot of money, you know? But yeah, that's kind of cool. Again, I said this when we discussed when Game Informer went away. Like, it's cool, but they were never one of my favorite magazines. They were just like, yeah, you get it as a GameStop or whatever, you know? But, you know, I like GameStop.
They were the last of the older game magazines.
They were the last ones. Yep, they were the last ones.
GamePro magazine. I remember that. EGM,
all of those guys, EGM. They all shuttered. They're all gone.
Yeah, no, Game Informer was the last one, at least for North America. They were the last holdout. And the only reason they held out so long is because of GameStop, but then GameStop closed it all down. But
I didn't even know I had that subscription until they started showing up in the mail. Yeah. How the hell this happened? Because GameStop did some bullshit with me and I got them in the mail.
Yeah. But it's funny how things work, right? Because GameStop, you know, they shut down Game Informer. Game Informer's back. But there's not so good news for GameStop right now. So they announced that they're closing a significant number of stores, people.
And not only that, but now they're gonna
close more stores in favor of getting into Bitcoin investing.
Oh, boy, babe. The worst thing you could ever get into.
Yeah. So, yeah, Chris, I know you have some thoughts on this because you love GameStop so much.
I mean, this was inevitable, but it's like they can't just. Can you just have some dignity and fold as a classic company? Can you just go away?
Yeah.
Like, just making it worse. It's like, we're just going to keep closing stores and now we're going to do crypto investing. It's, what? It's an insult to every. What is the point? Then you're not GameStop anymore.
You should just change the name of your company at this point. Yeah.
Yeah. It's ridiculous. And it's like, shit, what do I want to say? There's just a shit stain on the industry.
I went to GameStop last week. Last weekend, I went to GameStop, and it's so sick. Because first, where I'm at, there was a big one. Not even. It was a big one, right? It was a nice big one in the mall. Then they lost that spot, and they went to a smaller one. Oh, and then, yeah, whole back row of Pops and toys and other things. But then I went into this weekend, and Pops is, like, in a small section. They have just a bunch of little cards. The used section, which usually was, like, a full wall, is now, like, not even half. Because no one's buying any physical stuff to sell back as used. And it was just knickknacks everywhere. Just, like, weird little toys and things that don't even make any sense. They were selling even, like, MLS, you know, Major League Soccer trading cards and stuff. Like, what does this have to do with any...
I noticed that the one that's over near me, they started getting into more cards. Like, a whole wall just got taken over by Pokemon cards. They're literally moving all the console stuff all the way to, like, one smaller section now.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm seeing cards stuff. I'm like, what is this? This is... And it was empty. And it's sad because we all remember the time, especially the one in Herald Square, that two-floor one, packed. You know, almost every time I went into a GameStop, it was packed. There was always people there.
I think I think for the gaming community, like GameStop, as much as, you know, like it, I hate that it is the one that was left.
Yeah.
There were so many other better stores that they absorbed. And it's them. That's them of all people. That's the one that is still left. So, like, I wish that. You know, I wish that there was somebody else that would take that position as a game store. But maybe the future is, you know, if they're still going to be physical, you know, there's a lot more video game like mom and pop stores.
Maybe
now.
It needs to go back to that. Yeah,
it's going to be hobby shops. It's going to be hobby shops. We have a lot of hobby shops out here. They sell toys, records, and they got a huge video game store. They had more used games at my local hobby shop than GameStop did. And it was just like, rows and rows and rows of games. I'm like, also, oh, this is where they all are. They're all here.
Over where I'm at, we have a game like a it's now a chain. There's multiple stores that they have, and they, you know, they sell, you know, new and old games. Maybe that's the future, you know.
Yeah, I think so. I think the age of, like, you know, a big gaming store chain, I think that's done. I think it's just gonna be local, smaller stores, you know, which will be better, to be honest. Get better service
think,
that way.
Think of all the things that we've lived from the beginning to the end.
Yeah,
you know, from DVDs, Blockbusters,
that's right.
VHS, all things coming up. The Virgin Megastore, Megastores for music and stuff. Tower Records. You know,
I remember all of that. So many, yep.
Yeah, we've seen all of these amazing things. Like, man, this will be here forever. No, gone.
Telling you, man, every time
Toys R Us. I could have never, if someone said, give me a list of all the things going out of business, I would have said, no, Toys R Us kids will always want toys. They will always want toys. It makes perfect. They would.
Not anymore. Now, Adam, you're the one that wants toys.
Right? I'm the one that probably still knows about toys.
Yeah.
Kids today don't even play with it. They're like, what? You know, there are some Toys R Us. They're in Macy's. You know, but it's just like a section. It's a small section. It's not what it used to be, where it was like big mega store, like a Kmart just for toys.
Yeah.
Kmart's gone also.
Kmart's gone too.
Bring up that one. I brought up another dead.
Man, I'm telling you, every time I go by Union Square, or like I did last weekend, I get upset, man. No more Virgin Megastore. We used to go there all the time, man.
That was the meetup spot.
Yep, that was
right the spot. Right next to the movie theater.
Yep, yep.
You can go get your tickets, go hang out there, get some coffee, do whatever, you know, then go in. And it was 24 hours.
Yep.
So even if you didn't want to go straight home, wanted to just chill and talk shit, there you go. Just go there.
Yeah, man, it's upsetting.
Memories.
Those were the days.
All right. That was for the days.
Yeah. All right. And the last story of the day, the weirdest story of the day, but we already kind of knew this was coming, but it's still fucking weird. So I'll preface it. So 6 months ago, Fatal Fury made an announcement that Ronaldo was going to be in the fucking game, right? Involved. For you guys who don't know, like me, Adam, can you tell us who this guy is?
He's, arguably the best player in the world. Yes, there's Messi, but Ronaldo has done far more when it comes to winning titles with multiple teams and just staying at the top of his game.
Yeah, we're talking about soccer, by the way, for you guys who don't know.
Everybody should know number 7, RE7, Cristiano Ronaldo, RC7. You know, he is just amazing. Amazing player. He now plays in the Saudi League because they offered him buckets of money. You know, so we'll see where he goes after this, because he says he has no plan of retiring. But he played for Real Madrid for many years, Manchester United, Juventus, all the big clubs. But yes, soccer player now in Fatal Fury.
Yeah, and I want you people to remember, who does he work play for now? The Saudi League, right?
That's the name of the team.
Yeah, and I'll just, you know what, let's just skip right to it, because people were, when this first got announced, right, because a lot of people don't understand what's happening with SNK. They were like, Ronaldo, they can't afford him. That's so much money. Ronaldo works for, you know, he works for the Saudi League, the Saudi prince owns SNK. So it's makes sense, right? So when I heard this, I'm like, oh, this guy's gonna pop him in the game. Nobody believed that. They're like, no, that's crazy. You can't have Ronaldo. And I was funny, I was watching Maximilian Dude's reaction to that initial thing. He's like, oh yeah, if he's gonna be in there, he's gonna look really awesome, man. They're gonna make him all Fatal Furyified. Nope. So anyway, so we finally got the announcement yesterday. It was two trailers. One, it was, you know, the real Ronaldo, and he's like facing off against the other Fatal Fury people. And then you see like a little snippet of him, but then you got the full gameplay reveal. And the gameplay reveal was in the style of all the other characters. So he's not a DLC character. He's in the main roster day one, and he looks really fucking out of place, bro.
He looks generic. Like,
he looks like a normal dude.
Who let this normal dude in this game? Like, he's like, it's like,
he doesn't transform into anything.
No, he doesn't. No, like, he has like he has a super soccer ball. That's about it. You know,
okay, he uses the ball and he kicks it around and everything. But
the thing is, like,
he's in Fortnite.
Yeah,
and he transforms. He has
turns into a lion.
Nothing special. He's just a regular dude. Like, here's the thing. He has really cool like attacks, cool moves. But his design is just a regular, it's just Ronaldo. There's nothing special. It's literally, this is not a Ronaldo version of a, it's not a Fatal Fury version of Ronaldo. It is Ronaldo, you know, like, because people will be like, oh yeah, well, we've seen this before. We had LeBron James in multiverses. We had Shaq Fu. No, but those were characters in that world, you know. Yeah, this is Ronaldo. This is just Ronaldo. That's crazy. Yeah,
all they did was they just literally took him and just put him in the game, and that's it. Like, it's so, like, they didn't make him, exaggerate him. No. He just looks like, yeah, it's weird.
Yeah, Adam, I sent you the trailer, like, stylize if you look him. At it. Yeah.
But I also, you know, there also could be weird thing, but they're also, because you also got to realize that when these things get happen, they have to go through the person.
Yeah.
And a lot of times, especially if you're, you know, if, you know, if they're the PR, their company that handles their business, or they are really picky on how they look, this is why these sorts of things happen.
Yep.
So maybe it could be like Ronaldo's just like, man, that doesn't look like, they probably showed him like a really stylized version of himself. And he's like, nah, that looks nothing like me. Make it look more like me.
Yeah, it's possible.
So that's what they did.
Yeah. Well, that's what we speculate. That's what we speculate happened, you know?
Here's the thing, like,
but Manny works in the industry. Manny works in the industry, so he knows what he's talking about.
It's a speculation based off of stuff that I know about the industry of working in the, you know, why these certain, like, why do you wonder, like, so, like, how did certain things get approved? Like, why does this figure look like a really pretty version of Harrison Ford? It's because they're essentially placating to Harrison Ford or any actor's, you know, idealized version of what they see. And if they don't believe it looks like them, they'll change it. Is a little side note. So years ago, there was a Dick Tracy comic drawn, and I remember talking to the artist who worked on the book, and he had issues. So what happened is that they told him, okay, listen, this book looks great, but Warren Beatty, you drew Warren Beatty's left side, and Warren Beatty doesn't like that side of his face, even though he just, like, used a reference of the right side of his face and flipped it over.
Yeah.
So anytime in this Dick Tracy book, there, what happened is he essentially just edited the book and just blacked out. Anytime the left side of his face got shown, it was blacked out.
That's crazy.
Because he doesn't like that side of his face.
Adam, did you see both trailers?
I saw the first.
No, watch the second one. Watch this.
I saw the one where he's walking and talking, and then he shows him fighting.
Yeah, watch the one where it's just pure gameplay. That's the second one. Because I want to know, is he doing moves that he does in real life, minus all the fireball shit, you know? Because apparently people are saying, oh, he's doing the thing. He's doing the thing. I'm like, I don't know what the thing is, you know? I only heard about Ronaldo when he was announced.
His main one is, he does that. My son does that all the time. That's like, Ronaldo is his hero.
Watch the second trailer. But he does that shit. But yeah, because again, I'm not a soccer guy. I only heard of Ronaldo when he was announced for Fatal Fury. Never heard of this guy. So to me, I'm like, what the fuck is this? You know, Adam, I legit don't know these fucking, like you just said, Messi. I don't know who that is either. like is Cristiano, what is he, Italian? Like, what country is he from?
Portuguese. He's from Portugal. Yeah, Portugal.
Okay. And I'm wondering if this is like his stage. Is that, because I don't even know what the Portuguese flag looks like. Like, maybe this is, Adam, you're looking at it, is that Portugal flag there? I don't know.
Yeah.
But I want to get your thoughts, but I'll fill it in while you're watching that. But yeah, again, it looks like he could be a fun character, but it's still weird to me. And I hope this doesn't mess the game up.
He looks like a regular, I mean, I freeze framed it here.
Yeah.
They gamified him. If you could see
but
it,
but not to the style of the actual.
He's not,
they didn't pull like a Way of the Warrior or Pit Fighter. You know, like they just take his image and put him in.
No, they didn't do that.
That
would have been cheese. But you know what? This is going to sell like hotcakes just for that.
That's what I want to ask you.
He is such a big deal because it's very divided. The world, it's like Pepsi Coke. It's Messi or Ronaldo. You know, this is it. Who do you? There's so many people on that fence. My son loves Ronaldo. Has a jersey up on the wall, does a shoe, and he scores goals. There was a big deal recently in New York when NYCFC, one of the I think he was a right back. He scored a goal against Inter Miami, which is Messi's team, and he went running up to the corner. Shoo, he did it. And they were like, oh, man, he's doing the taunt, because that's just something that Ronaldo does. That's so, the thing. And then the game. Yeah. And
it's so is this would you buy this game for your son?
I probably would have to. I mean, this is Ronaldo.
He would enjoy?
This is his boy.
He probably would. He's not that big into the fighting games like this. You know, he likes Fortnite and things like that, but not so much with the fight. We've played the Street Fighter. You know, I have the fight sticks and stuff, and we've set that up. But this would probably really pull him to do it because it's Ronaldo. It's like, how do you not play as Ronaldo? The greatest. I mean, there's documentaries are showing him. He's created moves. He can score goals with his eyes closed. He pulls like a Michael Jordan type of situation. Yeah. He's amazing. He's an amazing player. And so, yeah, I can see this as being a big seller.
Yeah.
And I was thinking maybe like you said about why they didn't really, you know, gamify him and stuff. Because then if you do too much, then it doesn't look like Ronaldo. So they're really trying to emphasize like, no, this is Ronaldo.
It's a hard one because like if you go too far and it may not look like the person, but I suspect it's more just the it's just probably more him saying no, that doesn't look
this is a big deal.
Yeah,
it's a big deal.
Apparently, again, because I don't know anything about this guy, I was watching some video about like some fighting game guy that does know him. He basically said that Ronaldo has like 100 million followers on Twitter and like 600 million on fucking Instagram. Yeah. So I'm like, yo, if you only get 1%, 1%, this game's going to sell like 20 fucking million copies or something, you know? So it's kind of smart, even though I think it's kind of stupid. If it helps get Fatal Fury out there, I think that's a good thing because, you know, tying it into what I'm about to say next, the second beta of Fatal Fury just came out. I was playing it for like a good hour and a half before the we did the podcast, and it's a lot better than the last beta. The matchmaking is really fast and snappy. They fixed the menus. It's a blast, man. So if more people get to play this game, it's a good thing, especially for SNK, you know? Even though they have the Murder Prince running it now, which is a whole other thing, you know? Plus,
what also changes things is that this is his last season there.
Oh, really?
You know, so yeah, so we're trying to figure out if he's going to stay there. He already said he doesn't plan on retiring, but now we have Beckham, who is one of the co-owners of Inter Miami, and he has there's a bunch of big money investors, which is why they have Suarez. Oh, they have a lot of big names there. The point is, their goal is to do the Mecca Dream team, and that is to have Ronaldo and Messi play on the same team. So can they lure Ronaldo to come to the United States, at least play a season, play half a season with Messi? That would be amazing. They would sell out everywhere. That would people would love to see that, you know. And so this is possible, and that's what they're hoping for. Because then now, here's the other thing: a lot of people don't know that when Messi came down here, he got paid some money and this and that, but there was more. He actually gets a percentage of subscriptions from Apple TV.
Really?
From the season pass, MLS season pass, it's all linked to, because all MLS, the whole season, there's no blackouts. It's all on Apple.
Okay.
Right? So $99, you get everything. All the games, no blackout windows. So he gets a percentage. Apple threw a lot of money to make sure Messi would come in. So if there's a possibility that they can get Ronaldo, they will do it. And we know they have the money to do it. So that'd be big. But the whole reason why I'm bringing that up now is that when is this game coming out?
April 24th. So like
all right, so that's coming out. Yeah. 2 weeks from. All right, so it doesn't matter. So he'll still be playing over in the Saudi league when this comes out. Because I mean, it would suck that, it's a Saudi-owned company. They backed up with all this stuff. And then if he does leave, he's not there when it releases. Would he fly out to advertise it? But no, he'll still be there then. That's okay.
So what if he does leave, when would he leave?
Summer.
In the summer?
When
the
season's over. Yeah, it would be when the season's over. If he comes, he could come in the summer transfer window. That would be huge. And then just even if he just plays half the season. And we've had that happen. We had Gareth Bale, another big player of soccer world. Anyway, he came, played for LAFC. They won the title, and it was for a year and a half contract. He did the half, and he was going to do another year, and he announced retirement. He was like, I'm done. Wow. I came in for that half, and we won a title. I don't need to do anymore. he bounced. So, and it doesn't matter. If he was to do that, they've never played together. The La Liga, which is where he used to play when he played for Real Madrid – Messi played for Barcelona. Those are the two biggest clubs. They don't have like what we have in all our sports, where we have all-star games. You know, the best players go against the East. Yeah. They don't do that. If they did that, it would have been great, but they never did that. And so this is a dream situation. You know, Messi said he was open to it. He was like, all right, whatever. You know, it's all about, you know, making money, making fans happy. You'll sell out arenas all over the place, you know, stadiums. So let's see if it happens.
Yeah. And then my other question is, like, if this guy leaves the Saudi league, are they going to pull him from the game?
No. I was going to ask you, Manny,
how does that work? Yeah.
The way these things are usually licenses, so he probably has signed a license to have him in the game. It's kind of like the way, you know, Terminator and all those other things get into the Mortal Kombat games.
Yeah.
Those are all licenses that they've paid. So they've paid for essentially as long as the game exists, the license is valid.
Okay. Kind of like, you know, Akuma always in Tekken 7, you know?
Yeah. He will always be in Tekken 7 unless the Tekken 7 gets offered on another console.
Yeah.
So the way licenses work. So like the way the licenses work is that whenever, like, let's say the next generation of stuff comes along, and let's say, I don't know, the stores aren't connected, just like how, well, you know, there was a cutoff point at the thing. So in order for them to continue that, they'd have to go in and make a new deal with Capcom. And that's part of what causes the Marvel versus Capcom games to sort of go into limbo, because they need to strike a new deal with them. And sometimes the deals aren't like perpetual for as long as the game exists or something like
that. Yeah. See, this is all that. This is what I wish we did have, GameStops and something popular, because then you want to see people lined up. And I miss the days of when they would get interviewed by press of like, oh, are you excited for this game? Or yeah.
I would hell no. These kids, this game sucks.
Like, you're on this line for this game to pick it up. Who are you most hyped to play with? I want to hear, you know, I want to see something like that. Where else are we going to see it? We're not going to hear any of that.
Yeah, you're right.
It's going to go live on the digital stores and people are going to be playing it.
Yeah, pretty much. But think about it. It's like, this guy's going to be on social media tweeting about this game. Hey, I'm in this game. Like, people are going to buy this
shit. I mean, if he isn't already.
Yeah, he probably is. Yeah. Again, I don't follow this guy, but he probably is. So, very, very weird stuff. But if it helps this game sell, you know, I'm for it. You know, I don't know. It's going to be weird. Like, are you going to tie him to the story? Because this SNK stories are a little bit more involved than other fighting games. So it's going to be weird to have this outlier guy.
It's the same, they could just say he's from the league, the Saudi league. They'll have him show up, you know, and he's just finished playing the game. And then some guy challenges to fight in the parking lot or something, you know, it's like. There you go.
Yeah. I mean, they gave a little snippet of a story. It's like, apparently he's like, oh, Ronaldo, world renowned. He wants to go to Southtown, you know, where the game takes place, and then test his skills against the best fighters. Like, okay, I guess that's what we're doing now, you know?
I mean, it's probably not going to be anything like deep. It's just going to be like, all right.
No, I'm talking I don't mean like that. I mean, I don't think he'll even be mentioned in the main game. You know what I mean? Main story.
No, I think just like a lot of like special characters, some things like that, they'll just have him. He'll have his story, and maybe he'll have some interactions with some other characters. But I don't think it's going to be a part of the main story.
Yeah, it's not going to be like Akuma was literally central to that fucking story. It's crazy. Like, Akuma's part of Tekken lore. Like, he's the reason Heihachi's and his wife, you know, had their little toss up. Like, okay, Akuma's now part of Tekken lore. You know, kind of interesting. But there you go. But yeah, just so you know, again, the reason it's happening is because this guy's in the Saudi league. Saudi Arabian prince owns SNK. Not a surprise, you know. And the guy loves fucking soccer. You know, and he loves soccer and he loves fighting games. So there you go. You know, when you got money at him, you do whatever you want.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
That's it. They poach a lot. There's a lot of big players that they picked up that went over there just for the paycheck, because nobody watches the Saudi league.
Yeah.
So it's like, why are they doing this? Because of the money.
Because the money.
They offer ridiculous money.
It's crazy. Isn't that how they get? I was about to say, yeah, they got wrestling over there, you know?
Oh, yeah. They got the wrestling events over there.
And they were, weren't they trying? They were trying to acquire, well, the rumors were that they were trying to acquire the WWE.
They had offered, yeah. They were one of the potential buyers when they were up for sale.
Yeah, and they're also trying to grab some video game companies as well, you know. By the way, here's something interesting. The voice actor is not Ronaldo. It's like different person. It's not Ronaldo.
So I'm that's also another licensing thing. So when you want to get a famous person, there's two ways you can get a person, right? You can get them to do a voice, you know, that's a performance, or you can get their likeness rights.
Yeah.
So what they got was their likeness rights. To get them to do a perform, to get either one of them, it's pretty cheap. So if you had Ronaldo doing a voice in something, okay. To get a full, like the full person, the visual and the acting or the performance, that's where you got the money.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
And that's how the sneaky, and to bring that into Death Stranding, that's how Kojima was able to afford somebody like a Norman Reedus or what's his face. The thing about it is they got their likeness rights. And then what they did is they have their performances only for a certain amount of time. For most of that game, when you're playing as Norman Reedus, where you see Norman Reedus in a cinematic and he's not talking, that's not him.
Yeah.
It's somebody else motion capturing his performance. The only time you ever really get to see whenever Norman Reedus is speaking or whenever Norman Reedus is acting, that's when they had him in the room to actually do those things.
Yeah.
It's fascinating. And that's how he kept the budget down.
That's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. So there you go. And that's going to do it for us, man. So let's start plugging some stuff. Just for where Manny's going to show his comment. Oh, wait. It's looking good now. So you just got looking good now. So that's good. You're muted.
Oh, yes. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles number 7 and 8 are out now. Covers by Carter Randolph and myself. On the 26th. Came Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Naruto, which is it's out on the field. It's a retailer exclusive. So coming this next month on the weekend of the 11th of April, I will be at C2E2.
Yeah, yay.
So I'll be talking about those in the future. I just got my table assignment, but I don't have the email open to tell you what that is. But if you go to C2E2's website and you look for Emilio Lopez or Artist Alley, I'm on there. So, yeah.
Good stuff. Adam, what's up with the Reacher show?
The last episode of the season, episode 8, is now out. You can go watch that over at the Coalition and Spotify, all the other services. That's Talking Reacher. And it was good. A lot of action, a lot of shooting, a lot of fighting, all kinds of stuff. Next week, on Sunday during the afternoon, we're going to be doing a live stream just to overview and talk about the season. That's and cool. Our future plans. Yeah, we got some plans. We're going to cover some other shows. We're going to announce the next show that we're covering, you know, and some changes that's happening to it. So we're looking forward to it. But yeah, it's been pretty good. It was pretty good. A lot of people like the show, and I'm glad we also got a spinoff of the show. Amazon already confirmed that. That's coming. So we're just waiting for the dates. It's all about the dates. And then we also have Negan that's coming back, and that's next month.
Oh, shit. So,
Yeah. So once Carlos comes back,
that should be good.
That should be good. And one more thing, I guess. Hopefully by next week, I'll also have The Last of Us Remastered, the Steam Deck, my review.
That's right, yeah.
Going to have that up and playing that. Very happy. Very happy. Right now, I'm in route to Seattle on horseback. Okay. I'm on that scene. So if you know, you know. So no issues. No slowdowns. It's pretty amazing that they got this to work, especially since all the issues the first one had. Now, this is done by Nexus.
Okay.
So it's not Iron Galaxy. So Nexus took the reins for this one. But they also did that for Spider-Man 2. And look at all the hiccups and issues that one had. This one, right off the bat, didn't even say it's verified or anything. And I'm playing it from 30 to 40 frames. I always, in my screenshots, always have the performance meters on top so people can see. I'm in different scenarios, you know, nice draw distance, you can see. And it's still pulling good numbers. I'm on the horse jumping around. No slowdown. The only thing I can tell you is that I'm on the OLED. And if you notice, the OLED's pretty quiet.
It is,
I don't know if anybody here. It's pretty quiet. Not with this game. Not with this game. This brings back original Steam Deck, you know, with the... I mean, it's pushing it, but hey, If it works, it works. I have my earbuds in. You know, I'm just immersing it. I don't care. I'm just glad that it's running. It's a great feeling to just say, wow, that was a good game. Let me see if it works. Oh, it just works. It plays. I don't have to worry about patches. Yeah. And that's it. And then that keeps you immersed in the game because then you're like, oh, I could just keep playing. I can just keep going. I don't have to worry about like, oh no, this a hiccup here. Oh, this is crashing in this part. It's good. I'm enjoying it. So look out for my review over at the Coalition.
There you go. And speaking about the Coalition, Rich, what's happening with the Coalition this weekend?
Oh yes. Well, this weekend, I will be continuing to work on quite a bit of things that I can't talk about quite yet. Before I get to that, let me also once again plug. Yeah, definitely check out the Reacher. Podcasts, Talking Reacher. And as Adam mentioned, they are going to be having a live stream. I'm going to be helping them out with their live stream on Sunday. So we'll definitely get a chance to see, hopefully, people interacting and talking about the show. Prior to that, myself, Dana, and Gary, we are going to be reviewing the next episode of Power. That review will be dropping tomorrow. So if you are a Power fan on Stars, definitely check that out. And jumping back to gaming. Now, I've been playing a ton of things. Some things, like I said, I can't talk about. One thing I will say is one of the games I'm playing, I actually previewed and spoke about on this very show not too long ago. It is a game that's coming out next month. I can at least say that. But to find out what I'm talking about, well, you'll just have to stay tuned. And maybe I will have something to talk about next week.
Eco to the Dolphin 2.
Remember that?
Yeah. I'm not going to say the name, obviously, but it's like, it's not woo, right?
No. That game, I don't know when that game is coming out. It's coming out this year, but I don't know what's going on with that.
Yeah.
But yes, I have been playing that. I've also been playing another game called The First Berserker Kazan. That is a fucking awesome game.
Okay, I'm really glad you're playing that because a lot of people in our group, you know, Discord are asking about that game. They wanted to know if we were reviewing it. I wasn't sure. So, Mob Hits, there's your answer. Richard Bailey Jr. is playing it.
I am playing it. I am going to review it, and it's very funny because, you know, I consider you, Chris, and several of the other people here, y'all are the hardcore Souls-like fan, so I was very surprised. Picked this game up, started playing it on Monday. The game is awesome. I will give more details about that later. But yeah, stay tuned. More stuff coming to the Coalition.
There you go. That's awesome, man. Good stuff. So yeah, look out for. I'm looking forward to you talking about that game. You know, probably next week. You know, that'll be good. Yeah. All right, man. It's gonna do it for us. Another good show. We'll see what happens with the Monster Hunter stream. We probably will do it, but it might be at 10 on Saturday. One of my buddies is coming over on Saturday, so might be drinking. You know how that goes. But yeah, we'll do another stream. I'm going to call it the pre-update one stream. You know, got to get Manny and Chris up to level 50 at least. And, you know, Manny, I'm pretty sure you'll be level 50 before we even get there, you know, because you're doing pretty well.
I've been getting here and there, doing some of those missions. I do wish that there was some, you know, they did some things so you can find out where some of the missions are, especially if you massively catch a bunch of them.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, if you open up the map, they have like a little yellow sign above the locations. That's where you know where the missions are. But sometimes you just have to go there and then look at the local map, you know? It's kind of a little, I wish it was a little bit better, you know? But if you don't find missions on the big map, go to the local map. That's the best thing I could tell you. That's what I had to do, you know? Because remember, I was doing all this shit before the guides came out, so I completed it all. I didn't have to look at guides in the end. But yeah, we're done. So make sure you follow Throwdown on Twitch and Twitter. Follow us on YouTube. Join the Discord. And check us out on your favorite podcast app. Links to everything down below. Once again, I was your host, Tony Polanco. And tonight I was joined by Emilio Lopez.
See you next time.
Chris Seeley.
Hey, take care, everyone.
Adam Vail.
Have a good weekend, everybody.
And Richard Bailey Jr.
Have a good weekend, everybody.
All right, guys, we'll see you on Sunday. Later.